is the Becoming Epic Podcast. Becoming epic. Epic isn't a word that we're just saying. Becoming epic. Every person is courageous. Fitness became a blessing. It's my secret weapon. I'm living every second, motivating you to become epic.
Welcome back to the Becoming Epic Podcast. My name is Adam Berezowski, and I am your courage coach. So this week I have an incredible duo. These amazing women came into my life, 2 years ago?
2 years ago. Mm-hmm.
2 years ago. And she came in as a solo and then brought her offspring. There we go. That's the word I was like looking that. For. With her. So this is Debbie and Elena. I'm just going to call you Fane because I'm not going to even butcher your other last name. And they are amazing friends, clients, and their story is pretty damn amazing. So welcome to the podcast, Debbie and Elena.
Thank you.
So how I like to go about this is I just love telling people stories. We had a little debrief or a pre-brief. Not debrief, a pre-brief, about just telling your story. So let's we'll start with the mommy. Mm-hmm. And so tell me where your kind of fitness journey started and we'll go from there.
Well, I've always been into fitness, always wanted to, keep my weight in check and just always been very interested in it. And after my divorce, I lost, a lot of weight, but not healthy. And then got into another relationship and gained some weight, obviously, and had an injury on my foot. I actually had to go through bunion surgery. And from that, gained weight because I couldn't do anything. And then after I was all healed, I went looking for a gym, and I found a different gym, not Epic yet. Went on a crazy diet with them, very restricted, lost a ton of weight. This was right before my wedding, so I was really focused and determined. And everything was going well, got married, went back to the gym, and I had another injury in the same foot. So what happened is the bunion surgery itself impacted some of the bones on the top of my foot where they were rubbing together and causing like arthritis. So I had to have those bones fused. And doing that meant I had to have 10 weeks, no weight bearing on my foot at all. From that, I probably gained 20 pounds and the gym closed down, went looking for another one, and I found Epic.
I love that. Well, I always say after a divorce, I lost 180 pounds because I lost my wife. So
wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, totally. It was like the best weight I ever lost. So I feel ya. Cool. And then with that other gym, because you were with them for a while.
I was probably with them for a couple years.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you for your intro and your story, and we'll dive in a little bit deeper and let's fire it off to her crazy daughter.
Well, my journey is a little bit different. I originally wanted nothing to do with fitness. Didn't really know what it was, didn't care. And then probably about the beginning of high school was when I thought to myself, I want to start moving my body. And I didn't really know exactly what that meant yet. And I started looking up YouTube videos online, seeing how that was. And then eventually I went to my mom and I was like, these YouTube videos aren't really doing it for me. So guide me. And she brought me to Epic Fitness.
Yes. And you've been here ever since. And yeah. Man, have you changed? Yes. Well, let's kind of dive back into Debbie, just because I think by you doing what you did, going, searching for a gym, going through your ups and downs and whatever obstacles you had to face with your foot and surgeries and things I remember you coming in on your first day, you used to run, right? You ran half marathons, remember prior, before you hurt yourself? Yeah. Yes. And that you wanted to run again and all that stuff, or that you said that you would never run again.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I get that a lot. People say they'll never run or they'll never run again and ha. Yeah. Yeah. 35 races later or whatever you've done since then.
I'll tell you, when I first came in here, I was scared out of my mind and I wanted to bolt and get out of here.
Did you really?
I did. I was scared.
Am I that intimidating?
I'm just saying, I was scared.
It's my sheer presence. I'm just kidding.
And I'm surprised I did not barf at the end of that. It was cardio day. I didn't know that. It was hard. But looking at all of the medals you have out here, I was like, oh my gosh. Like, it really brought back the urge to want to run again, but I was scared to because I didn't know how my foot was going to handle it. And I remember telling you, I can't run. I can't run. And you're like, yes, you can. I was like, no, I can't. You're like, yes, you can. I was like, oh, shoot. And then I think we did like a little run out here, one of the classes or whatever. I'm like, oh, well, that doesn't hurt. So that kind of started.
Yeah. I mean, people that just don't want to run, they utilize old injuries, which I get it, right? Like, you don't want to re-injure, you have a bad time, and you don't want to go back to that moment, especially when you're gaining weight or losing weight. And, you know, depression's real, especially once you can't do something that, especially when you love it. But then since then, you've ran...
Four halves, almost five.
And then Spartan races, like a ton of Spartan races, 5Ks, 10Ks. Yes. They train 3-4 days a week, which is damn incredible. But like, what do you feel? Cause like, you know, I want to talk about like the leadership between the two of you guys, right? Because there's a lot of parents out there that don't exercise. Right. And then like expect their kids to.
Yeah.
And then vice versa. There's a lot of parents that do exercise and then expect their kids to, and they don't.
Yeah.
And so, in your household, like, how do you contribute, like, for Elena getting, like, her journey started? Like, is there, I guess, moments or things that you've changed in your household to make fitness fun and enjoyable and not, like, suffering and, you know, because there's everybody that talks about running and fitness all about suffering.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, what have you done in your household to contribute to both of your successes?
So, I think for me, I would come home just raving about my workout and how good I felt, and starting to run, getting a treadmill in the house, her seeing all those things. I had weights. I had all these things at the house too. And she was trying to do certain things off YouTube, and I'd show her, here's how you do it. Or we did the online classes through Wendy or whoever was doing it.
Yeah,
the recorded stuff. Yeah. She was doing that. And she's like, no, I need more. I need more. I need more. Like, she's got the bug. I'm like, okay, let's do this. Like, let me ask Adam, get you in here and see how you like it. That's kind of how it started, and it hasn't ended.
Yeah. Well, then let's go to you, because, you know, when you first came here, you were like scared, timid, super stressed out. You know, and like, let's go through like your journey with what we've experienced together, like with just the pressure of school and, you know, the stress it used to be under to like where you're at now. So let's kind of go down that timeline.
Well, when I first started, like, I was consumed with anxiety, had no confidence whatsoever, really. And, you know, the gym was really intimidating, but having my mom like push me and like getting me to come in and just doing what I now love was just incredible. And having the pressure of school, like, it made it more difficult to come in because, you know, I have essays to finish. I have tests to study for. But, you know, eventually I found a balance. Like, I'm able to do what I love and also keep up with my schoolwork. And now I realize I don't have to put the pressure of spending 4 hours of studying and going to the gym. Now I can not study as much and still get enough to where I can still keep my grades up and keep doing what I love in the gym.
Yeah. And I love that just because it's like, you know, I see it a lot, and especially with people you're around your age and in high school, that the pressure of like being a perfectionist, right? And let me just tell our listeners the fact that like you are like an overachiever, which is crazy. I mean, anybody even getting A's in normal classes, I think, is an overachiever, because I definitely was not that. But you're in like AP classes, like all the high end college stuff. You have like a, what was your GPA? Like a 4+?
Yeah, 4.0 plus.
Yeah, or whatever. Like, yeah, she's insane. But to come in, because like I just remember the days, especially when you first started, it was like you're stressed out, the anxiety, like you wouldn't even leave your mom's side, you know, like you would come into class and, you know, and having that type of pressure on yourself, because I think that that's a lot with these kids these days, like, you know, you have this pressure of what is expected, right? But then it's like with some time management and some, honestly, and I call it therapy, not like actual physical therapy, because it's like you're able to, you know, calm your body down, build resilience, you know, develop time management, and still be able to excel in the areas of your life that you have. So let's go through the kind of like that, where like, was there a specific moment of something that maybe you accomplished that kind of like was like, oh, like I can do all this or I can fit this in? And then let's talk about like everything that you've done running wise so far too.
You know, I really think finals week, you know, the most stressful week for a high schooler, you know, you want to do well on your final because it can make or break your grade. And, you know, I really took... just this past year with finals is when I really understood, hey, I don't need to spend all this time studying all the time because, like, I got it. And that's when I really learned, like, you know, you don't have to put that much pressure because you already do so well. And you don't need to go and study 5 hours to do well on a final when your grade is already so high. Trust in that knowledge that you already know you have. And... with running, like, obviously that added more to my plate, and especially running 4 days a week, you know, it's hard, but I love doing it, and you'll make time for the things that you love. And, you know, I don't regret making that time, and if anything, it makes me less anxious, a lot happier, and it's easier to get my schoolwork done too, because I'm not full of anxiety and I'm not worried about it as much.
And that's, I mean, dude, you just gave me goosebumps. I just think it relates to like, you know, in school, like again, like having that pressure, right? But then take like training for a half marathon, right? Like you want to run 13 miles, you got to train for it. You got to develop the time. You got to develop the grit. You got to do the things. You got to like your study time is your, is your running time, right? But then it's like knowing that you can accomplish that, right? And like that finish line feeling is that sense of accomplishment, which is why I love, it's like the running drug, right? Which then has built the confidence in you to not put that pressure on you, right? Because then it's like, oh, I have something I have to do that's really difficult. I set my mind to it. I set that goal and you crushed it. And so now you've run what, 4 or 5 half marathons? And you're how old, 15? Which is insane, because when I was 15, I was definitely not running. Well, I was, but I was running from the police. And that was generally hopping over a wall or two. You know, this is why I want to go to my 20 year high school reunion. We were talking about that. So ha, shame on you. And so, yeah. And I think that this is like I want to like bring out good lessons for like our youth, right? Because you know, there's a ton of social pressure these days, right? Of like, you know, you have to get good grades to be accepted, or you have to do X, Y, and Z to get a good job, right? And it starts in you know, middle school and high school.
I think it's important too for what she did in her journey, the confidence level from prior to her starting to work out and running and all of that was so low. She was like a little twig. So to see her evolve and change month after month after month and coming here, working out, doing the running, doing all of that, and to see her confidence level, like you said, she was stuck to me like a magnet here initially. And now she's just off doing her own thing. Where's mom? I don't know. She's just doing her own thing now. And for her to walk into school and have that confidence, it's so important for her. Like, she's a little badass. I love it. I love it. And it's so intimidating for others to see her like, wow, I see you like posting, you're doing Spartan races, you're doing all this running. Like, it's amazing. It's so cool.
Especially with friends too. Like, some people are going to be supportive. Some people aren't. You just have to, you have to do what's best for you. You can't let other people's opinions dictate whether you're going to continue doing what makes you feel good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But let's go to your leadership, right? Because you've set the groundwork and the sort of looking for. Damn it, I had the word. Why is my brain just like not working today? Yeah, totally. But you set the foundation, there you go, of like what is expected, right? Because mm-hmm. it's like, you know, she's put all that pressure on herself when it comes down to wanting to excel, right? Mm-hmm. But then you also set the framework of like, this is what I'm going to do. I want to be successful at this, right? Mm-hmm. And then, like, you've showed her in a way of, like, you're building your confidence, right? You accomplishing and setting goals, right? Because I think we did a Spartan first, right? Before the first half?
It was
the half?
Muddy Warrior, remember? Muddy Warrior here in Simi.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, that was last year.
That was terrible.
Yeah. Actually, no, it was the end of 21, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, the end of 21. Yeah, I mean, you've ran 5 half marathons since then. Holy shit, that's crazy.
Well, I'll tell you what, I didn't want to keep going that day. I did not want to keep going.
I do remember that. Yeah.
I went and got her. She was at a friend's house. And she's like, how did it go? And I'm like, I am going to die.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I finished. Yeah. I wasn't going to quit, but I wanted to. But I'm glad I didn't and done a lot since then. So,
yeah.
Good.
But let's go back to like, you know, with the friendships, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and we've actually had a lot of conversations about this, about the people that are seeing you change, right? Mm-hmm. And honestly, it's like they're scared to watch you change because they know that you're going to excel past them in all aspects of your life, right? Mm-hmm. Fitness and education, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Because you're an overachiever, and now you're in great shape. Well, you were in good shape then, but now you're like
fit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Total athlete. And so like, let's talk about some of the things that like people have been saying to you and then like, how have you overcome that? Cause I think that that's a huge thing for kids these days. Cause like, they don't want to be judged. They don't want to be talked about. They don't want to be, you know, everybody truly does care what other people think, but you've built a resilience to that. So let's talk about like what you've experienced there.
Well, honestly, like with my friends, it's been hard because in the beginning, they did show support, and I was always trying to get them to come in the gym with me, and they'd be like, oh, Lena, you know, all the workouts you're doing, they're great. Like, I'm so happy for you. It'd be great if we could all work out together. And, you know, it never happened, and I would even try and get them to come to a race with me or something. Or I would tell them about a race, and, you know, that weekend of the race passes, I don't hear anything from them. And, you know, that's fine. I've learned now that it's okay that you don't hear from those people, even though you want their support. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was really hard not getting support from people you would expect to get support from.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are people out there that do give you support. And I found a lot of that here at the gym. Like, this is where you are going to find those friendships, those relationships with people that are going to support you. And, you know, for people my age, it's hard in high school because for me and my experiences, you know, I lost my friend group. Yeah. And I truly believe that's because I did start working out and focusing on myself. Mm-hmm. And that was a difficult loss, but I feel like I gained so much more in losing all of that negativity mm-hmm. that now, like, sure, they talk about me, but it doesn't matter what other people are going to say about you. What matters is how you feel about yourself.
Yeah. And I think that that's like, you know, what I've learned growing up, like losing friends, especially through different transitions of life. Right. Cause like I think I've talked about this on the podcast, like, it had been high school. I was like, oh, like we had this really close group of friends and we're like, mm-hmm. we're going to buy a block of houses. We're all going to like grow up together and like raise our families together and all that mm-hmm. stuff. And, you know, and then like, as you start to adult, right. Mm-hmm. You know, things change, like you get busier. It's not just about you going to school and like your popularity status or whatever. Like, cause mm-hmm. I don't think you ever played the popularity status role. It was
definitely
more of like the educational side of things. Right.
Yeah.
Cause that's where your focus is. Mm-hmm. Like for us, it was all about like, you know, popularity and stupidity and among other things. But then like, you know, now at 38, right? Like I don't have any of those friends, but I have a ton of people in my corner that do support me. Right. Cause it's like, I'm at a phase in, in, well, we are all at a phase in our lives where it's like, we need that. And then you're grasping that at a very young age to where it's like, you know how important like your community of people are for your success, to make sure you get that support.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard to hear like the chatter in the background.
Oh yeah.
Of like, you know,
very hard.
Why do you always have to work out, or why do you always have to do this, or get, you know, like you said, like getting the support of coming to a finish line, you know, because that's important, right? It shows that people really truly care about your goals, even if that they feel like you're exceeding past them, you know? And I remember, you know, one of my first races, there was a, like, I don't even remember. It had to have been my first marathon. Like, I had a ton of clients that just came out, right? My parents have always been like super supportive of me. They've been like, I call them like the race groupies, because like they've been to every race.
Oh, that's cool.
Every Utah to like New York. I mean, everywhere. My parents have always gone, right? But it's like, if I ever wanted like my best friend to come, I knew he wouldn't come, right? So it's like setting those boundaries of like what that expectation is from them, and like not being disappointed, because but then surrounding yourself in that community, which is what Epic is. That's, you know,
exactly right. I mean, I never had a bunch of people who, I didn't have a friend group that would come and do these things with me until Epic. Now you make a bunch of friends, they're all going to races together, they're supporting everybody. It's so nice. It's so nice. And my friend group, or those that I thought were my friends, they're not. They're not anymore. I don't talk to them. And that's okay. I don't want that negativity in my life either. And I think she learned that as well. Hard way.
Oh, yeah.
But that's okay. She's stronger for it.
And the good ones will stay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And I always say, like, there's certain experiences that you go through with people in your life. Like, you know, hard things, scary things, school, right? Like, there's like those, and you'll always like have that connection. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to stick around forever. Because like, it just happens, right? You got, you know, you're into fitness, and I know we've talked, we'll talk about it in a little bit, but like your possible career path into it and what you want to do and making an impact, you know, but it's a huge thing for people to understand that, like, especially at your age, right? Cause like health should be very important, right? Cause the healthier that you are physically, then it equates to mentally, then it equates to then you putting your time where your time, where you want to put your time.
Yeah.
Right. Cause like, I don't, are you, have you ever been in the position like where you're a people pleaser? Like where it's like you,
I have.
Yeah. And you don't, And that's like the worst place to be as an adult.
Yes.
Right. For when you have a family and kids, and like you have those people that, cause like givers don't have boundaries and takers don't have boundaries.
That's true.
And it's an awful spot to be
it's
in.
It's really
It's pretty terrible.
I'm one.
And so, but that's, I think that's huge though, that you've learned that, right? And you've, and you're building that resilience, because it's like, yeah, it sucks because you do care about people and you care about, you know, like, would you go to one of your friend's races? You probably would.
Oh yeah, definitely.
She'd be in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Or yeah, if not, if not race with, exactly. That's what I always say. I was like, I won't just show up. I'll try to do it with you. We're that crazy.
We are.
But it's good, right? Because it's like there's separations and then you're learning those things as you go. So I think that's that's massive. And then with like with you, it's like, you know, you're learning too with some of the challenges that you've been going through. And, you know, you recently got a job and then
lost my job
and then lost your job, right? But then you were, but you were still able to uphold like this level of like consistency with your workouts, with, you know, staying on track as best as possible with, you know, your habits and nutrition and, you know, and so what is kind of like, what are some of the challenges that you've gone through? I guess, you know, because people, we have working people and we have people that aren't. So like, what challenges have you faced with?
Ooh, that's a very good question. I can go in so many different directions with that. So nutritionally wise, like that, that is my, that's the worst thing for me. That's the challenging part for me. Working out is not a challenge. I love it. I love running. I love to work out. It's the nutrition part. So with having a home that I can eat healthy all day long, but my husband is not necessarily on that same page. So it's really hard to keep on track with all of that. And I would literally have to tell him, if we're going to go camping, if we're going to go anywhere, like, I need to eat a certain way. You can eat however you want, but don't push it on me. Like, I had to set those boundaries. And then thankfully when Alina came in and she's like, I want to learn about nutrition too, it was kind of like, oh, I have support now. Like two against one. Yeah. It was nice. And she's laser focused. And so that's been helping me too. But then of course life comes in. I got a job and I was trying to manage my time. How do I get to the gym? How do I run? How do I, you know, stay on the clock at work? How do I eat? I'm sitting here at home. Like I'm bored now. Like it was a little bit boring. There was a transition. And then I lost my job. So then I had to go through that transition too. And then just life happens and it's really hard to stay on track. And you came to me recently. It was like, we need to look at your nutrition. And it was almost like you were in my head, like, I need help. I didn't know how to ask for it. And you read my mind. And that's what helps keeps me motivated to stay on track too, is you're helping me. I know you're watching over me. She's watching over me too.
And like, sometimes cooking for you too, from what I hear.
Yeah, she definitely does that too. It's good
food. Amen. Amen.
But I'm grateful.
I got a
to
kitchen
that.
Too. So just saying, if you ever want to, you know, I got a
I'll
kitchen.
Spread the love.
Yeah.
But I'm super grateful because, yeah, we're all human. We're going to fall off the track. We're going to go to a nice restaurant. We're going to eat a good meal. We're going to do those things. But you have to get right back to it. And I've learned that. Yeah. I didn't learn that in the other gyms. I didn't learn that. I learned that here. It's okay to do that as long as you get back on track. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what I've learned. And I just keep doing that. Just make sure you go back on track. Don't let the snowball effect and then 24 pounds are back on, you know, it's really mm-hmm. hard. It's easy to do. And before you know it, you're back where you started. I don't want to go back there again.
Yeah.
So I am super appreciative to you for coming to me when you did, because I was like, I need help. And I'm embarrassed to ask, but it was cool. You were like, let's look at it. What do you want to look? Well, let's meet. Let's do this. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And that is why community support is like so important.
Yeah.
And especially in like a family, like household, mm-hmm. right? Because like when I was married, like my ex was like, we met doing fitness, mm-hmm. right? I don't know if that sounds weird, but whatever. We met doing fitness. But then like, I remember that she always struggled with food, right? And she was always up and down. And obviously we had a baby and things happened. But it was always... Like I've developed different habits, obviously without her, right? Because like my relationship with food has changed, but it is very difficult in a household setting when you have somebody else who's not on board, which is probably the majority of households. And so like having the two of you support each other, right, through this, because you guys are very motivated, and which is again why I want to share your story, because you know it's like there's so many people that use that as like an excuse, like, oh, I have to cook for my kids, I have to cook for my husband, when like if this goal is truly important or this life change is truly important to you, like, and they care about you, mm-hmm. they'll figure it out,
mm-hmm.
unless
mm-hmm.
you have an infant that can't fend for himself,
yeah,
right.
Mm-hmm.
In my case, my daughter eats what I eat.
That's my husband eats what we eat.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know, like, and
if you're hungry, you're going to eat the chicken.
Totally. Totally. Yeah, totally. Like, it's what you get.
That's what's happening.
You know, I'm very fortunate. Like, my daughter loves what I cook, right? But then, you know, I can't, like, setting that standard in your household, like, this is what expectation mm-hmm. is with or without the support.
Yeah.
And I think that's really difficult for a lot of people to grasp of why they keep falling backwards. Because like, oh, it's Friday night. My husband just wants to go out. And, you know, I had this conversation the other day with one of our members who, you know, they go out almost every day for lunch and dinner on the weekend.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so like, but there is a way to live that lifestyle, right? And make healthy choices.
Sure.
But you got to like, there's got to be some form of like, I hate the word balance, but harmony, right?
Harmony.
In between
yeah,
like sure. what you do during the week and then preparing yourself for that, knowing that that's going to happen on the weekends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so like, you know, deciding what restaurants and then before deciding what to eat when you go, right?
That's what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. We totally do that.
Yeah, for sure. Because it's like, you don't want to not do that type of stuff, right? You don't want to experience life. You don't want to go to the movies and do fun things. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I just choose not to because I'm like very regimented. But not every,
that.
Yeah, totally. It's weirdly obsessive.
But being a people pleaser. Mm-hmm. Like you wanna, okay, you wanna go to the movies? Okay, we're gonna have popcorn, right? Okay, okay, all right.
Yeah.
Like, fine.
For sure.
Like, I totally do that. I give in.
Yeah.
Or we'll go to a friend's house and they have whatever food going on. And I'm like, all right. Like, it's so hard to be, well, if I brought my own food, and I've gotten backlash from that too, from my so-called friends. Like, why are you eating that? I'm like, I am on a mission. Like, you don't understand. It's really important. Well, you don't need to lose that much more weight. You're getting skinny. Now you're going to look anorexic. So now you get the negativity going on. And I'm like, oh my Jesus.
Yeah. Oh my Jesus.
That's when you just got to shut everyone else out. Get and out. Focus on yourself.
Yeah.
Stop
yeah.
telling me that stuff. Yeah.
And it's so funny. The more that I do these interviews, it's like we're all saying the same thing, right? Right? It's yeah. the, when you're going through a transformation, mm-hmm. then it's the people that are jealous, the people that are unhealthy, and it's the people that don't yeah. understand, that yeah. do yeah. not want to put their health first, mm-hmm. then you're too skinny. Like, you are going to injure yourself. You're going to do too much. You're going to look sick, you know? And it's like, you know, we don't go around saying, oh, I think you look too fat today. Right?
Right.
Like, imagine if you did that. And it's like, and I'm not here to shame anybody for living a specific lifestyle, mm-hmm. but it's like, why do you have to do it to the people that are like actually
trying to make a difference?
Totally.
Change. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's and so we've funny. All, I think we've all experienced it, right? Because you have with your friends, and you know.
I have a bestie. He's a male, nice guy, but he was in my ear too. You're mm-hmm. getting, don't get too skinny. Don't get too skinny. I'm like, oh, stop. I'm not, yeah. I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, you're getting too skinny. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm trying to get to a certain level of my fitness.
Yep.
I'm not trying to get skinny. I'm trying to get fit. There's a difference.
Totally. And that's the thing. It's like knowing the difference between being fit and then being skinny mm-hmm. and then being like sickly skinny.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because unfortunately we live in a world that people get sick and mm-hmm. things happen and it is what it is, but it's not like you're going to go to them like somebody who looks like they have cancer and be like, oh my God, it looks like you have cancer. Right. Right? But like, why would you do that to somebody who like maybe just dropped 20 pounds?
Right.
You know, it's mm-hmm. like if they decide to tell you that that's the reason, then that's it. But it's like, don't come to me because I'm happy or, you know, I'm motivated to go run marathons or half marathons or whatever it is, mm-hmm. right? To try to come at me, bro.
Right.
I got you. yeah. But like, those are the big things that like, you know, in like the social lives, mm-hmm. right? And it's like, it honestly makes, you know, it hard to develop good friendships.
It is.
Right?
Yeah.
It is. It's very hard. Yeah. You definitely have to have like-minded people around you.
Yeah.
For mm-hmm. sure.
Yeah. And to have it stick and then to stick for a lifetime,
mm-hmm.
you know, cause yeah. like, and you know, I have family that cares so much about our family that it ruins their life. Like, because of like the relationships that they want with them and, mm-hmm. and like, whatever that their situation is together, but then they care so much about what somebody else thinks that it's like all that they think about. It's all that they're trying. It's all that they're doing to fix or trying to find a solution to that, when it's like, just live your life.
Just go.
Yeah.
Do your thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's so hard to watch too. And absolutely. Like when people are like that, when it's like, you know, maybe if you just dieted and exercise, you'd feel really freaking good.
I have a couple yeah. of those too.
Yeah.
And one survived cancer and she lost a ton of weight. And I was so proud of her. And, you know, she's cancer free. That's amazing.
Wow.
I'm super happy that she's healthy, but she's gained all of her weight back. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my gosh, you were feeling so good. So good. You looked good. You're feeling good. Your knees felt better. Your feet weren't hurting. And now you're right back where you are.
Yeah. It's kind of like society like sets us up for failure,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it's like, I saw this thing the other day. It was about talking about Snickers bars and candies and like the sure. comparative to like, I don't know if you guys saw, I posted it the other day. Like comparing like what those types of treats do compared to like fruits and honey and like the natural sources of like sweetness, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just like, you know, because all that candy creates type 2 diabetes. It creates like cancerous because of the food coloring yeah. and all this stuff, right? Yeah. But then it's like you have vibrant strawberries and blueberries and blackberries and all these things that you can literally eat endless amounts of.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a lot of sugar, but it doesn't create insulin or it doesn't create insulin yeah. dependency. It doesn't create, you know, diabetes or obesity and things like that. And it's like, you know, and I probably eat more freaking frozen blueberries than anybody should. I'm like on a blueberry kick. It's quite... Actually,
those are yummy.
They are. Drizzle a little honey on there, some dark chocolate chips. Game changer.
All right.
Have you guys not tried that yet?
Have not.
You're making me hungry.
But I'm down for it.
I'm starving. Yeah. So you do, okay, I'll give you a little hack. So they're frozen blueberries. I forgot the brand. They're like little wild berries. So they're small.
Oh.
You drizzle a little honey on it. And then I've gotten them from Target. I forgot the name of the brand, but they're small, but they're like super healthy. Our chocolate chips.
We have those.
I think they're called Good Life. Yeah. Good something.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're ridiculous. And then you sprinkle that on there. Game. It's like, oh my God. It's like, yeah, it's
just drooling.
Yeah.
Over here.
Just be careful. Cause like I used to have it just for dessert, but now I have it for dessert after every meal. So it used to be after dinner, but now it's after breakfast and after lunch and after dinner.
Create a new habit.
Yeah. So like what a big frozen bag of berries used to last me a week. Now it lasts me like 2 or 3 days.
Oh.
It's actually like 3 or 4 days, but whatever. But it's good stuff. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying, right? It's like we're pushed all. It's like when was the last time you saw like a healthy strawberry commercial?
Oh, right. No. And it's got chocolate all over it.
Yeah. It's all candy commercials.
Totally. Right? Yeah. What's the give me a break for the Kit Kat bar or something?
Yeah.
Kit Kat. And then Klondike, like what would you do for a Klondike bar? Yep. Like all these things, right? It's like come up with something cool for strawberries.
Yeah.
I mean, right? I don't know if you can, but
sure
it's like, yeah.
Yeah, you can come up with anything.
Totally. I guess challenge accepted.
Challenge accepted.
But like those are the things that like, you know, people just don't understand, right? Like you go back to habits, you go back to, you know, like the investment into yourself, you know, like somebody surviving cancer. Like, yeah. I mean, we've had plenty of people go through here that have been diagnosed. Actually, one of our clients I'm going to have on as a guest has had thyroid cancer like 2 or 3 times.
Oh my gosh.
They keep cutting a little bit out every single time. You know, but it's like she hasn't gained weight. You know, she's, you know, continues to work out. She continues to put her health first. And amazing. She works 3 jobs now, I think.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah. 3 kids.
Killing it.
Yeah.
3 kids?
Wow. Yeah, 3 kids. Yeah. Boy, yeah. A girl and 2 boys. Yeah. I got to remember who I'm talking about. told you my brain is just not working today. But yeah, but people seem how to make it work.
Yeah.
Right? Because like you said, if it's important to you, mm-hmm. you will make time for it and you will make it work. And that's what kills me about the people that say that they don't have time or they can't afford it, right?
Just because had a baby.
Yep.
I have one of those too.
Yeah.
That she asks me all the time, how did you do it? And I said, honestly, you just have to really watch your nutrition. Working out is secondary. If you don't have time to work out, that's fine, but watch what you put in your mouth.
Yep.
Okay. And it's an excuse after excuse. Like she's good for a couple of days and like, well, my mom bought this and we have it in the house and the chips and the ice cream and that, well, don't eat it. Mm-hmm. I know it's hard. Don't eat it.
Yeah.
But you gotta focus and have discipline. It's really hard. I understand. Yeah. I get it. I've been there.
That was
and
my
I'm
word.
Still there. I'm there every day. I struggle.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, you hit the nail on the head. Discipline, discipline, discipline. Mm-hmm. I mean, no matter where you go, you're going to be attacked by, you know, you go to a restaurant, the alcohol, right? Or the desserts or whatever. And you have to set that discipline.
Even if you want to order something relatively healthy from a restaurant, if you ask for something special, like don't put butter on it, don't do this, you get the look, right?
Yeah.
Or if you're with people totally. You're with people who are dining with you and they're not necessarily worried about what they eat. And then you have, you know, a chicken breast or whatever and vegetables. Is that all you're eating?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm good. But you get even backlash from that. And it's just weird. Why can't people just support people?
So I had this weird experience. What was it? My family just got together like 2 weeks ago. And any family event that I go to now, I bring my bus. So I can cook my own foods, right? I have a fridge, full kitchen. I just bring my, And they always give me shit for it. Mm-hmm. So I was making these turkey roll-ups like I always do for lunch, like little turkey wraps with like spinach and whatever, all the veggies and just, I make my own sauces or whatever. And my aunt was like, she goes, oh, you eat that every day? She goes, what about all the nitrates? You know, as she's eating like a tuna sandwich from Subway.
Uh-huh.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's like you're telling me about nitrates, you know, and this is nitrate free turkey. It's like all organic. It's like really good, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's like they always have to say something.
Something
always.
Negative.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so I just ignored it. And then all of a sudden, like somewhere through, I forgot what they were talking about. They were talking about like being low carb or some shit, and they're all overweight and unhealthy and whatever. Mm-hmm. And what did I say? I was like, oh yeah, like you're talking about all these. She was eating potato chips. And I was like, oh, so you're eating all this? She goes, oh, this is what it was. She goes, somebody needs to take this bag away from me so I don't eat them anymore. I was like, yeah, and you're bitching to me about my nitrates?
Right.
Like, come on. Like, let's be real.
Hypocritical.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Right. But it happens to everybody, you know, and setting that standard in your life to not let that stuff affect you.
Why do people do that? I don't understand. They should be happy that you're trying to take care of yourself and support that.
Yeah. Well, I just come to the conclusion where people are just not happy with themselves.
And they project it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. They just project it on the people thinking that like, oh, and it's not, I don't think it's purposeful, right? Like, I don't think people like wake up today and be like,
it just happens.
Yeah. Like, who can I put down today?
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, you're in shape, but I'm going to make sure I take you down a notch or two. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Right.
Yeah.
But it does happen, you know, and that's just the building the resilience and building the discipline of like not letting that get to you just because it's like, how many times have you seen people like lose all this weight and their family was like, oh, I can't believe you lost all this weight. Why don't you just eat some chicken here, have a piece of ice cream.
Yeah. You know, you can afford it. You can afford it. Just totally. Have that piece of cake, right?
Yeah. When that was like the original reason why they got into like at their worst weight ever in the first place, you know, which is mind boggling to me. Well, I love where this conversation is going. God, I'm so passionate about it.
I think we all can relate. That's why we've all been through these struggles.
I've had a similar experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was at a restaurant and I ordered something healthy, of course, because, you know, that discipline. Mm-hmm. And the waitress was like, oh, like, you don't need to eat super healthy. You're young. Like, it doesn't matter.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, God.
And I just remember thinking to myself, like, it doesn't matter that I'm young. Like, if I want to be healthy, I want to be healthy.
Yep.
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 And they always have to say something because I'm...
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah. And I just don't get it. It's like, you know... Especially like when kids, right? Like I went to my daughter's picnic thing yesterday. And there's all these little kids. My daughter, she's, you know, she kind of has freedom to eat whatever she wants, sure. But she's in good shape for what she is. And like you have these other little kids that are just like, they have bellies on them and they're like, they are in essence for like height to weight ratio overweight. Right. But it's like they justify because they're a kid that it's okay that they're a kid.
I think one of the biggest things, too, is it's so easy to go through a drive-through because both parents work typically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so easy for, oh, shoot, mom gets off at 6:00. Let me go through the drive-through, grab some chicken nuggets for the kids. And then they're developing unhealthy habits. And that's one thing that I never wanted for Alina. One thing, if I could change, if I could make a difference for her because of my struggles growing up and my weight fluctuating, I didn't want her to have to go through that same thing. So, I mean, it was very rare we'd go through a drive-through for her. Very rare. We were cooking for her. We were doing all those things. And then obviously when she developed, my nutrition is just as important because if I can stay on my nutrition, her fitness goals are gonna, you know, she'll make her fitness goals. So it was so much easier to have her obtain those goals and not go down that road as she gets older, developing bad habits and then struggling like I've struggled.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's totally a win for her. She's already developing those good habits now. And that'll carry her on to adulthood. That'll carry her on into when she gets pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be one of those gals that are pregnant with a big belly coming in here and working out and eating well. And it's going to be amazing.
Yeah. I know.
Long time from now.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Very long time from now. Yeah. Yes. I mean, setting that precedence, because I see a lot of where parents... Where it's like the do as I say, not as I do thing.
Yeah.
Right. But it's like, it's what you do is what they're going to learn.
Yeah.
Right. It's not what you say.
Yeah.
Because I never listened to my freaking parents. Like, right? I did the exact opposite of what they said.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and that's like a struggle, I think, parents with kids, especially now with like, you know, the internet age and gaming and, you know, laziness.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where it's like they justify it somehow because of their age, and the parents are just too busy to understand because they do work, right?
Yep.
But it's what you do in the time that you are around them. You're setting that example of what it is like to be an adult,
yeah.
right? And that's like, and I want to set that standard for my daughter now, which is what you're doing, right? Because mm-hmm. you're setting that standard, you know, basically over the last 15 years going up and down, right? Yep. And not letting it just be like, okay, we're just going to go out to eat because it's easier, or we're just going to go to McDonald's because mm-hmm. it's easier, right? And, you know, and there are things that, like, I remember I was working with a client who didn't have a kitchen because they're going through, or one of our clients was working with a nutritionist that didn't have a kitchen. And so all they could do was eat out.
Oh, wow.
You know, and so, and they killed it. Lost a ton of weight. They hit their goals, and that was all with eating out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there is a possibility of doing it, right?
Yeah, you don't have to go to a fast food restaurant necessarily. Totally.
Because, like, yeah. you know, it's just creating those that skill set of like mm-hmm. how to order, how to eat properly, and then how to like control your time,
yeah.
right? To be able to like do what's right for both of you, because it's the parent first, the kid second.
Yep.
But it's the exact opposite. I say this a lot, but it's like most parents are willing to die for their children, but they're not willing to live. Huh. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That was deep.
Yeah. It gets, yeah. it oh, deep. Yeah. And that was good. It came out, flowed really good. So cool. Well said. Yeah. And because usually I'm like, what's that quote again? Like, shit, I don't remember, but whatever. I got that one down. Because it is so true, mm-hmm. right? Because it's like, oh, I'd be willing to take a bullet for my child, but yet, you know, you're sitting here at 300 plus pounds, mm-hmm. basically sitting like with the devil next to you saying, hey, I can have a heart attack at any time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that's you're playing with death at that point.
Yeah.
And that's just not worth it to me. Like, you know, like life is too valuable for that. And, you know, imagine like not having those experiences with your kid because of your selfish choices.
That's right. That's exactly right. I just don't understand. Like if you're not feeling good, if your knees are hurting, your feet are hurting, and you know, taking off 5 or 10 pounds is going to help that pain. Why not do that? Why try to have knee surgery or knee replacement or whatever? And I say this because we have someone in our family who's going through that, and she's gone up and down in her weight too. And it's always seems to be, you know, she can't walk. She can't get up right away. She's got to take her time to get up because she's in pain. Like her knees are about ready to give out.
Wow.
And it's like, if you just give your body a break, your yep. body is saying something to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know it's hard. I get it. But pick your hard.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I was just about to say that, but you took the words right out of my mouth. But it's true. Like, you know, you could go the easy route, mm-hmm. right? And the easy route's never easy, mm-mm. right? It's like nobody wants, yeah, because if you just lost weight, and most people think they have to do everything, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You start with walking and drinking water.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
that goes like the longest way. Like one of our clients came up to me and was like I literally just cut out, it was soda, it was something, it was something that they were drinking mm-hmm. and they lost like 10 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, and it's like, you don't understand like
Starbucks.
Those little, yeah.
Cut it.
Totally. Right. Because they say, oh, I go to drink black coffee, but you know, shit ain't black.
No.
Because who actually likes
that's
black
nasty.
Coffee?
That's nasty.
Yeah. No.
Listen, I got to have the creamer too.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And oat milk can only go so far, so right. I get it. No, but yeah, I mean, and that's where it's like, you know, developing leaders, right? And like having, you know, which is why I love this duo so much, because you guys are setting an example of what it should be, as in like you setting the foundation and the groundwork, and then you really like taking the roadmap, right, of what yeah. she's setting for you, which is pretty damn good. So you should be very proud.
I am.
For as much as we've always had the conversation of like, you always try to put her first.
Yeah.
Because this is your journey as well. Right. Mm-hmm. And again, like that's that parental instinct to always take care of our kids.
Yes.
Right. First. Mm-hmm. But you're doing the best, in my opinion. Right. I'm only some random dude in Simi Valley. I think it was the first time I ever said that here. you know, but you're setting the example. Right. When you really don't need to stress out about her. Right. Because yeah. it's like she's following in your footsteps. And so, and now she's got a passion for, you know, training and lifting and running. And I mean,
all of
I could not imagine, like, at 15 years old, would I to run a half marathon. I wouldn't even, my fastest mile in high school is like 20 minutes. and I didn't run the whole thing. I ran faster from the bathroom to the Campbell court so I can go smoke some weed, like, in between classes.
Right.
Like, that's what I did.
Right.
I'm very open about my story. So, yeah. So, yeah, let's talk about kind of like where you're headed in your fitness journey. We'll start with you. And like the things that you want, like upcoming, right? The things that you want to accomplish and mm-hmm. where you're currently at and then where you want to go.
Well, I'm currently like, I'm at a plateau, right? So I'm always working on my nutrition. So, and it's not about getting skinny. I want to make that clear. I want to be fit. Like, I want somebody to come up to me and be like, Elliot, or I don't want them to come up to me and tell me I'm skinny. I want them to come up and tell me I'm fit. Like, that would be like the ultimate compliment. And I want to work on that. So whatever that means. So coming in here, working my tuchus off, lifting, running, all of it. I just want to feel good. Like, I want to feel good. I want to wake up feeling good. Like, I'm going to knock it out of the park today. And that's just being consistent, coming in here, getting the work done, eating right, making sure I fuel my body, because I do struggle with that. I do struggle with getting my protein in. I'm not going to lie. It's a struggle.
Yeah.
And then you throw in life. It's a struggle. I'm constantly thinking about it. I'm constantly tracking everything. And I make my mistakes and everything. But I get right back on the wagon, if you will. But I want to see myself running a half or doing something, a lot of cardio, and feeling good, like doing a Spartan, maybe doing a trifecta weekend. I've not done that yet. I've always spread them out. So I've never done back-to-back Spartans. So I want to do that. That's what I want to do upcoming. Daughter's looking at me going, yes.
Of course. Hey, I'm over here like, yes. Like, yeah, you're speaking like, my language, this is my drug, fill me up.
Let's do it. Right? I want to be able to do all those things and not necessarily have help doing those obstacles. I want to do it on my own. Mm-hmm. So I need to work on that. I need to work on my strength and my nutrition, right? So always a constant. Nutrition will always be in my life.
Yep.
It's not going anywhere.
Yep.
But my fitness level, I want to level it up. Mm. So that means trifecta, Spartan, looking at my kid right now. Yeah. She got a smile on her face.
You keep using a word that I love I think people should really realize that you keep using nutrition, not diet.
Yeah.
Right.
Diet is a stigma.
Yeah.
I don't like it either.
I know. But that's what I'm saying. I always want to point that out because I've yet to sit. I mean, that's what we call it around here. Mm-hmm. It's nutrition. It's not like, oh, you're on this X, Y, and Z diet, because that's not how it works, yeah. Right? It's a system of food that fuels your body, right? Yeah. Which is what nutrition is for.
And believe me, every time you increased my macros, I've panicked.
Yeah.
But you have to trust in the process, right? So, yeah. And then there's that. I have to trust that it's okay. I can eat that much. And it is a lot.
Yeah.
And it's not, I'm not eating.
Yeah.
Like, I'm eating a lot. And it freaks you out because you're so used to, oh, I have to starve to lose 5 pounds. Yep. I have to drink my food. I don't want to drink my food. I want to chew my food.
Yeah.
So it was really eye-opening to learn that and to trust.
Yep.
And I did. And it worked.
Yeah.
And it's still working. So I just need to keep that going.
Yep.
Learn more and level up on my fitness.
And I think everybody plateaus, right? And it's just a matter of if you can fight through the weeds. It's kind of like, you know, you're running on a trail and all of a sudden the trail just gets overgrown with a bunch of shit and it slows you down, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what a plateau is, right? And you just gotta like fit through till the trail opening opens up again and you find that motivation and like the, you know, the little tweaks we have to do, right, to get through the brush when it comes down to, you know, what correct nutrition you need to then match the goals that you're accomplishing and then to match the training behind all that.
Yeah.
And so I think that's huge.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Me too.
Yeah. All right. What about you? Let's talk about your future because I like where it's going.
Well, there's only so much I can do right now, but I'm definitely willing to do whatever it takes to get that going. I want to help other people reach their goals. I want to get more of my story out there. Like, I want people to hear me and what I've gone through, because I really feel like it's definitely relatable, especially for people my age and in my generation. Mm-hmm. Like, that's definitely target audience right there. And, you know, at this age, it is scary to go into a gym and not be intimidated. Because
for sure,
I know how intimidated I was.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is scary, but I want to create an atmosphere that's more comforting and, like, makes it a little bit easier to take that first step into helping others reach their goals. So I want to, you know, create my own types of podcasts, get my messages out there.
I love that.
Yeah. I'm excited.
I scour the podcast realm a lot of, like, who's out there, like, what information is coming through. Cause, like, I mean, what is there, like, 4 million podcasters right now? It's crazy. It's like such a growing, cause this is the new radio, right?
It is.
Mm-hmm. Even music and everything is on podcasts. But, like, being at, you're 15 years old and what you've gone through, anxiety, social pressures, school, friends. I mean, if there's anybody that should be a target market, it is that age range, right?
Oh, yeah.
Coming from one of their peers. Because, like, you know, why is a 15-year-old going to listen to a 38-year-old man who's gone through life, right, who's experienced it, when at 15, I don't give a shit what a 38-year-old guy said. Tell you that much. You know, but it's like to hear it from a peer, I think that's huge. And I love that. And hopefully you'll be recording those here, just throwing that out there.
I will do that.
Okay, good. Yeah, we already got the full setup and the cool candles and the shit and the fake plant over there in the corner that will never die. Oh, two fake plants. I forgot. No, there's two of them in here now.
options.
Yeah. So then goal-wise, like, besides the podcast, I think that's massive. I think that's actually bigger than even, like, your fitness goals, because mm-hmm. the fact that now – what you've gone through is you want to give back, right? I mean, that's the epitome of, like, success, right? It's now sharing it with others in hopes that they will catch on to then do it for themselves, mm-hmm. Which is why I love business too, because I don't look at any gym as a competitor. I look at them as, you know, they're in the same industry to change lives, right? Most, some are not. but then it's like there's enough people to help, right? Mm-hmm. So now what about your fitness goals, nutrition, and even future possible career?
Well, fitness-wise, my fitness goals, you know, I just recently, within the past couple of months, discovered how much I love strength training. And I know from, like, research that I've done, strength training is going to get me to where I want to be. Like, I do want to build some muscle, probably cut back on my running a little bit so I can build that muscle. And nutrition-wise, like, ever since I really started focusing on nutrition, like, I've been laser-focused. There's nothing that's really distracted me from that. And, you know, I'm developing these good habits early on, so I'm not, like, going to fall back unless I choose to do that. But no, like, nutrition-wise, I want to hit my protein every day. Like, I'll eat whatever I need to eat to get there.
She eats a lot of yogurt. Greek yogurt.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do to reach that protein. Like, it's not – obviously, I'll, you know, indulge when the time is right, because it's okay
to
indulge. It is rare, but, you know, I do it, so it's okay.
Until you have blueberries with honey and chocolate chips.
Oh, that's on with that. Yeah, we're going to go to the store right after this.
Lock it up, because it is too damn good. I literally had some for breakfast this morning. But keep going.
But, you know, I love eating healthy and eating what I need to eat to reach my goals physically, mentally, because, you know, the physical part is great, but mentally – you're just beyond, like, your head is clear. You're not as anxious, worried. You're just, you know, you're cruising. And, you know, staying on that nutrition, it's so important, because it does help you reach that physically. And you feel good. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, the first time I actually, like, indulged after I started eating healthy. And I was like, man, I feel awful.
Yeah.
This is terrible. Why would anyone want to eat like this every single day, three meals a day, plus snacks, whatever? And I was just like, man, this is pretty terrible. Like, I don't feel good. Like, and obviously you get bloated and then you look in the mirror and then you're like, I don't really like what I see. And then you make a change and you get on your nutrition again and you're eating healthy, you're feeling good, you look in the mirror and you're like, that's where it's at. Like,
yeah.
That's exactly mm-hmm. what I'm working towards, what I want to work on and improve. Mm-hmm. So I'm very much, you know, get on your nutrition.
Yeah.
I mean, you hit the nail on the head because, like, people don't understand that what you put in your body turns around into how your body works correctly, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, mental clarity and, like, the fatigue that bad food causes so much more mental health issues in people than it does when, and I feel the same way. Like, I can't eat bad anymore mm-hmm. because of the mental back end of it, right? Yeah. It's kind of like a food hangover. Like when you go out drinking, hopefully you'd never experienced this before. but like, you know, it's like having like a food hangover, you know, because it's like, it's bad for you. It's bad for your mind. And then you start thinking lethargically, you start making stupid choices. And then, yeah, I mean, I look back, it's even, you know, I've been on this for 15 years and I look back some of my nutritional habits. I don't even know how I made it this far, yeah. you know, in this without like the discipline that you need.
Yeah.
Right. Because of like the mental aspect to be able to overcome some of the things. Right. And if you don't have the mental clarity or the tenacity and the discipline, like, you know, how do people survive? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't understand it anymore. Like, it's so out there. And so, because I think that's the biggest change that I've seen in you mm-hmm. is like from when you started, I don't know how your nutrition was before you started like getting into fitness and things like that, but like, in comparative to where it is now, like it looks like you feel good, right? Like just like when you walk into a room, like there hasn't been a day, cause like, I know we beat up our bodies. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there's days where our body's just like, I hate you, you know, and you hurt, but it's like, but it doesn't show like you're not, what's the, like exerterating? What's the word?
Exerting?
No.
Exubering?
No.
It's, like you're portraying. Come on, ADD brain, LAUSD. Come on, get it out of there. Well, whatever. Like your body language is just so like, I'm in it. Like we're going to go no matter what. Right. Yeah. And it doesn't necessarily have to be with exercise. It's just with everything in your life. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that that's going back to why, you know, nutrition is so important to make it clean, because it's clear head, clear mind, clear body when your body's working correctly. And, yeah. you know, I think if healthy eating was law, we would cure so many of our freaking problems in our world.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And, for sure. But that's not the case. That's mm-hmm. not what makes money. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. eating right. healthy, keeping people healthy does not make money.
Well, the bad stuff's addicting too. So once you have one, you're going to have another, you're going to have another.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's hard.
Totally.
Yeah.
But it's mm-hmm. actually, but that's the thing. It's like, but then there's so many assets to that, or offsets, not assets, offsets to that too, because then it's like the food coloring, then it's the addiction to sugar, because sugar is like the worst drug out there.
So we had my bestie bring over some candy, resins or whatever they're called.
Yeah, resins.
Oh my gosh, had a couple. Oh my God. So Alina's like, just get rid of them. Just throw them away. So I threw them away. I'm like, I can't do this.
Totally.
This is like, it's going to throw me way off the track and that's not going to make me happy.
And you know, that reminds me, because obviously like we're all tempted to indulge in whatever. And I am too, of course, no matter how focused you are, you're always going to be tempted.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that's really helped me with like temptations and like possibly indulging or not, like I'll ask myself in my head or out loud, because, you know, I like to talk to myself. But
that makes two of us.
But I'll just think to myself, like, you know, is it worth it to eat this? Am I going to feel guilty about eating this or not? And if I think to myself, you know, I think I'm going to feel a little guilty about this, then it isn't worth it.
Yeah.
It's not worth that mental burden on yourself.
Yeah.
So totally. Tell them what you went through last night and what you ended up having.
Oh, yes. So last night I was craving something salty. Fantastic. And, you know, usually I'll have like Doritos because they're bomb. But we didn't have any Doritos. We had plenty of other options for like potato chips. But I was like, no, like I don't want something unhealthy. Like I want something healthy because I want to feel good. Again, I don't want to feel guilty.
Yeah.
And so what I have for breakfast in the mornings is I got my Ezekiel bread and I have avocado toast and we use Himalayan salt on it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that is what I want. I want my avocado toast with Himalayan salt. It is healthy. I won't feel bad about it.
And like that's legit what I had. Sat there with a smile on her face as she's eating it.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. It was so good.
I'm so hungry. God, all this nutrition talk. God, this is, yeah, that's awesome. That is so good.
That's badass. Yeah. I don't know that I would make that same choice. I'm telling you right now, to be honest, but to see her do that, I was like, oh,
all right. Throw a little egg over easy on top of that, a little protein.
That's me. I like that. I like my egg on there. But no, she just had avocado toast last night with the salt. I just need
something little. You
know? Yeah, mm-hmm. A little, you know, just a big old slab of bread with some avocado, some salt. God. Yeah, seeing people think, oh, I need to stay away from carbs and bread is bad and all this BS. Yeah, it's all BS out there.
I know.
Well.
It was delicious.
Yeah. Well, this has been awesome. I love talking to you guys.
We love talking to you too, yeah, Adam.
That was good. So hopefully with your podcast, we're going to, have you thought of a name at all?
You know, I have, but I am keeping that secret.
All right. Well, we'll do it off of air because I'm going to, we'll arm wrestle and see who wins. Yeah, totally. No, but I do appreciate this. I think this has been an amazing, amazing talk, and hopefully that other parents out there will learn something from the both of you guys because, it's what, like I said, you're setting the foundation, you're setting the roadmap, you're following the roadmap, and this is, like, awesome.
It's epic.
It is epic.
It is.
Well, I hope you guys had a good time listening to these two amazing people, and then I guess you're going to hear from little podcaster over here because I'm not going to let her not fall through with that now because that is awesome. But yeah, tune in next week. Hopefully you got something good. I'm slurring my words from this. And every person is courageous.
Thank you for listening to the Becoming Epic podcast. If you're still listening to this, that means you took something away from this episode. Make sure you leave a review and subscribe so you never miss an episode. Becoming Epic. We'll see you next time. Fitness became a blessing. It's my secret weapon. I'm living every second, motivating you.